So, I didn't know, but you saw me in one of my speechless times as far as getting that gift of two tickets to the Skins and Eagles game. And I was explaining to Barb Cartwright that, what?
Carmichael.
I'm sorry, Barb. My good friend, what's her name? I'm getting older, Barb, sorry. I was explaining to her, I've been to games, but it's probably been 7-8 years, and maybe more, since I've been to one. And she's sitting beside Margie and sort of smiling widely. And Margie says, Mike, come here. And you, a little birdie told me you should open this before you preach. That wedding gift and this jacket from Barb and Valerie were wrapped up in the box. I've never had an Eagles jacket. And so, again, I was speechless. And she didn't know, you didn't know about the tickets. She didn't know about the tickets. And so, you see, this is the sovereign hand of God confirming that it is God's will for me to be a Philadelphia Eagles fan. And uh-oh, Sean has a comeback. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, that is with my weight gain, too. It fits. The jacket fits. Thank you. That's good. I'm just being wise, Margie. Thank you all. And that Barb, and thank your daughter, Valerie. What a special gift. I'm blown away. Last night, we read the email about Larry, about Jody's homegoing. We read it rather late, and so Larry knows this. I drove out to their house and got there about 10:20, 10:30, and I knew it was their house because Larry's silver truck with a big Cowboys decal on the tailgate was there, and two times he's worn his Cowboys shirt. And I rang the doorbell, and no answer. And left a note and put it in the door and came home. And this morning, early morning, we exchanged texts. And here he told me that his family was with them all evening. And not too long before 10:20, they left to go home. And he was out back at the fire pit just having some alone time. And so he's out back behind in the backyard, and I'm out front. And though we don't always understand that, I sense that it was God's will just to have some alone time to grieve Jody, your precious Jody. Psalm 23 is a psalm that's very precious, and I'd like to share it at this time before I preach. And this is in honor of Jody and in memory of Jody, and also to bless the Lord, but also to bring comfort to you. And I'm reminded, as the Lord placed this on my heart, Pastor Chuck was saying this psalm out loud quite a few times in the last 4 weeks of his life before Jesus took him home to heaven. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, symbol of great blessing. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, this translation, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The psalm today is Psalm 34. If you would please turn in your Bibles or your electronic devices to Psalm 34, living in stressful times. There's good stress, and then there is bad or very difficult stress. Yesterday was good stress, a wedding with great celebration. You say, why do you call it stress? I've been involved in both sides. We have two adult daughters, and as daddy to those daughters, I wanted their wedding to be special and to go well. And so I can feel that side. And then every time that I officiate at a wedding, and by the way, oh, Josh and Amy are downstairs serving the Lord in nursery, but I wanted to affirm him. Josh did a beautiful job officiating. But every time I officiate, even though I've been in, it's hard to believe, 45 years of ministry, I still get nervous. Here's why, because I want it to go well. It's a special time, so that's good stress. Losing your bride, I haven't walked that way. That's awful stress. A job, economic situation. This scenario in the Psalms, well, here's the message in a sentence. The Lord's heart is for me to experience His provision in times of trouble, in times of stress. But this, I guess it sort of freezes up, so I'll wait here. I'll just read this while they're getting that up again. This psalm, here's the scenario of the stress. The background is this. It was probably written when David had faked madness or insanity before Achish. Now, Achish is the name of the king of Gath. Abimelech, they believe, were titles used. Gath was in Philistia. You remember Goliath, called the Philistine? Well, this was one of the five city-states of Goliath's people, and the title of the king was Abimelech. Like in Egypt, remember the title of the king? Pharaoh. The real name was different. And David's on the run. Here we go. David's on the run. We'll get to that. Allow me to explain. David's on the run from King Saul. David's not yet king. As I said a few weeks ago, in 1 Samuel 20 to 23, King Saul had this attitude change, got in contact with evil spirits, and really took a swerve and a bad turn toward evil. And he got very jealous of David and wanted to kill him. And so you talk about stress. I've not been on the run hiding in caves with 400 to 600 men having someone out for my life. And as far as I know, none of you have either. If you have, let me know. I'd like to hear the story. I'm sure it's fascinating. But that's very, very significant. And think of it, that's a political situation. Their government leaders were kings and queens in those days. So here's the king out for your life. And so no matter what stress we are in today, what grief we are experiencing, what thoughts going through your mind. You don't know my story, Pastor Mike. You don't know the stress that I'm feeling right now about my job or my family member or my neighbor or what people are thinking about me because, and you fill in the blank. You're right, I don't know. But what we're going to see is God sure does. And he promises good things in the midst of bad times. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. I love that. Their faces are never covered in shame. This poor man called or cried out, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who see the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, here it is. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do no evil, and do good, and seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. These are some of my favorite verses in here about the eyes and ears being toward the Lord. And then it contrasts to those who are wicked. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Don't miss this. The Lord is close or near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Those are some powerful, powerful truths. So we're going to look at four practices to do before the Lord when I'm in a great time of trouble, like David was when he was running from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. So here we go. First practice, worship the Lord. If you want, there's a message outline in your bulletin. Worship the Lord. Don't miss this. Key phrases, bless the Lord. His praises be in my mouth. My soul boasts in the Lord. Those are individual worship expressions. It's continual, it's ongoing, it's at all times. And notice this, personal worship is contagious. Look at this, don't miss it. He goes from bless the Lord, I will bless the Lord, and other singular pronouns to, oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. So this worship of the Lord in here, listen, we can worship the Lord and bless the Lord, sense his presence, honor the Lord at work, just quietly at our desk, while driving, keep your eyes open, please, unless you're not the one at the wheel. We can, I'd much rather be doing that, and I'm trying to do that more and more, rather than mumbling at the people who cut me off something very lovely like, idiot. That's not quite a worship word, okay? I've said it, but it's not a worship word. Worship is contagious. No wonder there's a sense of God's presence. In fact, it says in the scriptures more than once, he, meaning the Lord God, inhabits our praise. There's a presence and a habitation of God in praise that is inexplicable, but it's real. That's why there's a sense of lift When we're praising God, whether we're all alone or earlier today. And by the way, Josiah and team, there was an extra energy in the music today. There was a Holy Spirit thing going. I just want to say thank you to each of the team. And give a clap offering to the Lord. There was just a sense of that. But I got to move on. Here we go. I'm going to move on. What do we experience when we worship in times of stress? Delight. Second practice, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. There's the statement, I sought the Lord. David's going singular again. And he delivered me from all my fears. Then he goes plural in these verses. They looked to him and were radiant. And so seeking the Lord must be contagious as well. When others sense that we're calling to the Lord, I had this friend who was, his name's Ed, in fact, close friend of Margie and me, Ed Lewis. And this gentleman just has an evangelism, share the gospel heart. And he's always reminding us, use not boastful, but God talk. Like even if you're talking to someone who doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, he'd say, tell them that you ask the Lord for help in a situation. Let them know that in a supernatural way, it's very natural to you. And so seeking the Lord, so different places, I just try to say, well, Margie and I, or I, if I'm just talking about me, prayed about that, about our job. Or if it's they, a neighbor and I happen to know, or acquaintance, a personal situation, we'll say, we prayed about your job situation. You shared with us about your daughter the other. We prayed for her. And we'll see countenance change, and very few times is it like, you know, don't like that, don't want that. And so seeking the Lord, let people know. And there are the scriptures about it again. And they looked to him, so it goes from singular to, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were shone. There is a certain, when we're putting a trust, a seeking in the Lord, there's a certain contentment on the old face, or the young face, that is wonderful. That cannot be explained. When we're leaning in on the Lord, and just the opposite, when I'm fretting, Margie catches this. Man, isn't it wonderful how your bride or your groom knows you? You say, most of the time, it's a blessing and a curse. So she will say, Mike, you're worrying about something. And how do you know? I can see it. Well, sometimes she'll say, I have those lines, you know, in the forehead, or my brow's furrowed. And that's what I get for teasing my mom years ago. I'd go up to her, because she had these lines, like her forehead was always like that. And especially when you get in college, you get sort of bold and sometimes arrogant. And I'd go up to her, and I'd go to her forehead, and I'd smooth it out and say, Mom, whatever it is, don't worry, let it go. Now, Mom is laughing down from heaven, saying, Michael, it isn't as easy as you thought it was. Let the Lord smooth your worry lines out. You get the picture. So, seeking the Lord is both very personal, but it's also contagious as well. We need to move on. Listen to the Lord. Ooh. This is a spiritual discipline, I must admit. I do very little. I didn't realize it until I heard some of you and in other local churches, some of them saying, well, I've really been listening to the Lord. And some of you and others of former churches have, I'd read a scripture and then I'd just listen. What does the Lord have to say to me? Or I'd pray and I'd think, what words coming to my mind? Let me give you an example. I won't give the name. But one of the gentlemen in the church, when Pastor Chuck passed away, said to me, Pastor Mike, I don't know, but I just sensed the Lord saying to me, I got this. I got this. Now, that's very comforting, because I don't know about you. I know about the family because I'm around them. I don't know about you. That shook me to the core when he passed away. And I sense it shook this church to the core. So what a sentence to get from God. I got this. Not only I got him, but I got this. I got you precious people. I got you precious church. I got you precious family. I got you, Larry. I got you. That's it. That's listening to the Lord. That's hearing him. He says, what are we to experience? Well, there's some didactic too. That just simply means teaching. Come, you children. I love in the scriptures how what's that word? Endearing words are you. Come, you children. Not come on, you guys. Listen up. You know, not quite like a Marine sergeant. I know the language is a little more colorful. Come, you children. Listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who's the man who desires life? We all do. We all desire life. We all, and then it goes, and who loves length of days that he may see good? We all do. We all want to see good. So he goes into some specifics. Keep your tongue from evil. Wow. My tongue can go to evil, just edgy stuff in a minute. There's more. And your lips from speaking deceit? Wow, that's very personal. Because I don't always tell all the truth. And good old mom or dad or grandmom, a half-truth or a half-lie, it's still deceit. It's still a lie. Depart from evil, that's rather general. And do good. So there's a pursuit. How do we do good? Well, it's not in us. It's not in our humanity. The only way it's in us is by having the righteousness of God. When it talks about toward those who are righteous, and that word's used, the righteous, in this psalm, that's not saying those of you who are good, obedient people. That's saying those of you who seek the righteousness of the Lord. That's being covered, even in the Old Testament, by the righteousness of the Lord, when they obeyed the festivals and the Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, Passover, all those things that pictured the covering of their sins. And so that's what doing good is, seeking peace and pursuing it. And look, in these times of stress, by chance we are here, by chance, that's people chanting things. We hear on radio or see on TV or online, there are chants. Have you ever heard a lot of coverage on chants for peace? No. The chanting we hear is, let them burn. And then often it's hate this or that. This is countercultural. Part of us living in times of stress will be countercultural. In fact, much of it is. Need to move on. Fourth one is cry to the Lord. Call out to him. Remember I said this is some of my favorite verses? Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. You see, he never pushes away when we're saying, I can't handle this. I'm crying. People, when we cry, some get very uncomfortable. That's not the Lord. He's like this. Oh, my son or daughter. In fact, Fred, I appreciated how you prayed today. Lord, cry with him. Cry. He does. He does. Cry with them. He does. His ears are open. Lord is near to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. What do we experience? We experience deliverance. We don't experience pushing away. Listen to these promises. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, verse 19, but the Lord delivers him or her out of them all. Now, we don't know the timing, but he delivers him and her, you and me, out of us all. Last verse of the psalm. The Lord redeems, buys back the soul of his servants, those followers of the Lord God. And none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. None. There is a total safety in being a follower and a servant of the Lord God. Not total no heartache and problems. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation because I have, but fear not, I've overcome the world. Peter said in 1st or 2nd Peter, don't be surprised when you enter into tests or trials. I would just say for today's, don't be surprised when you hit stressful times. It's part of life. But here's some thoughts on the end. So what is the significance? In stressful times, the Lord is intensely personal with you and me. He's not surprised. This is the God of the universe, and he's stooping to me and to you in our most needy time. The God of the universe, the creator of everything. It's extremely positive. In the Lord, there is hope and help and deliverance in stressful times. When I go it on my own, and I try that sometimes, there is despair, confusion, and guilt. What do you experience when you try to resolve and solve something on your own? Doesn't go well. Yeah. Doesn't. It includes, I love this, includes the senses. This psalm and this truth in the psalm, in times of stress, it's hearing, the Lord hears, the Lord sees me, and it's even tasting. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now think of your favorite food or favorite drink. Just think of, don't say it out loud, but think of that right now. One of David's, according to Psalm 19, must have been honey. Because David said, the Lord's word, and remember, the Lord's word is the very essence of the Lord's character. Oh, taste, so think of that food. Oh, taste, and see that the Lord is good. So truth is both, what's that word, ethereal, like it's knowledge, it's things of, it's doctrine, but it's not distant from us. It is personal. It is God saying, I'm here. Taste and see that I am good. Just later today or a couple days this week, let your mind run with that. Oh, how good you are. And think of those flavors of food or drink, some of your favorite. Oh, and you're better than that. sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, Psalm 19. Thank you, God. And it's very prophetic. You know when it says none of the bones are broken? That's actually a prophecy of Messiah, King Jesus, on the cross, well, before the cross when he's being beaten. And on the cross, they normally broke the bones of the legs of the criminals who were hanging on the cross so they could not shift the weight off of their chest, but instead the leg bones were broken so that they'd die sooner. They didn't have to do that with Jesus because he, in total authority, said, "Into thy hands," talking to the Father God, "I commend my spirit." And he breathed his last. No bones were broken. One of the more unusual things to happen in a crucifixion death. And it's prophesied here in Psalm 34. Also, it's prophetic that he says, "My son, my daughter, I got this." This psalm is saying that over and over again. I got you. I got this. Choose joy, be humble, be teachable, be encouraged. Let's pray. Lord God, it's been a whirlwind of emotion and thoughts in this worship service today. We ask you to calm our hearts. We ask you to minister to our spirits, whether at this time we're going through good stress or ugly stress. We ask you to prove this psalm true because you, not we, you are all truth, are all righteousness, and are all gentle and compassionate, and you promise to keep your word. Go with us. May we walk with you and listen. I have a lot to learn. If there are others that are learning with me, help us to listen to you this week and to see you, acknowledge you, sense you, humble ourselves. We pray these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Go in the great joy of the Lord. God bless you all.